Welcome to College Talk. I am Russ Goldman. Joining me today is Emilio Donnell and Mike Gregg. This is a special spotlight episode as we'll be sharing our thoughts on Clint Dempsey, who just announced his retirement from football. We all have fond memories of Clint when he was a Fulham player, and we're going to spend the show talking about him. We have much to discuss in regards to Mr. Dempsey, but before I do anything, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show. Mr. Gregg, how you doing?
Yeah, hi, Russ. Hi, Emilio. Yeah, I'm doing well. Looking forward to doing this show on one of the most important players we've had in the last, 10 years. So, looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it as well. I obviously have very strong feelings about Dempsey, and I'll be sharing them during the show, but I look forward to getting your view and, of course, Emilio's as well. Emilio, welcome back to the show. I look forward to doing this with you, talking about Mr. Clint Dempsey.
Yeah, hi, Russ. Hi, Mike. I'm pleased that he's retiring on a high, but the same, I see Clint Dempsey as a very, very important player in the history of the club. He will always be in my top 11, starting 11 lineup, for many, many years to come. His contribution to the club was immense. And, I'll miss him. I missed him when he left, and I'll miss him when he's retired. But, it'd be interesting to just get Mike's thoughts in terms of, the memories of Mr. Dempsey over the last, that period of time at the club.
Okay, excellent. And I definitely want both of you to share your thoughts. I just want to just share this real quick just to begin the show, because I'm sure many know this, but I'll just mention this as well. Clint Dempsey was a player for the New England Revolution, and I was searching for a team to call my own, and I could not find a Premier League team that fit me. Well, Clint decided to go to Fulham, and I then decided to, I'm going to give Fulham a shot at this point. And it really took from that point on. So I owe Clint Dempsey a great deal, because his move to Fulham changed my life. I became a Fulham supporter, and it's been wonderful ever since. So I owe him a great deal just by making the move. And obviously his contributions as a player are fantastic, and we'll talk about that. But personally, I owe Clint Dempsey a lot. So I just want to wish him the best in his retirement. That's just quickly my thoughts on Clint, my journey with him, I guess you could say, because I followed him to Fulham. All right, guys, let's get into this. And Mike, I'm just going to start with you. Just share with me your overall thoughts on Clint Dempsey as a player with Fulham. And then we'll get into memories, matches and everything. But just overall, your view of his time at Fulham.
Yeah, well, he's I wouldn't go as far as Emilio and put him in my top 11, but he was an odd player in some ways. I mean, the main memory is the goal against the Juventus, which I'm sure we've all watched a million times, and encapsulated pretty much what he can do, which is he could do the unusual, and he was an important player for a good number of years for us, and the goal against Liverpool as well. But when you look at his final scoring record for us, 50 goals in 180 odd games, you in some ways you forget how many goals he did score for us. And at some stages he was the only player scoring. But then I've had a little look as well, and it took him a long time to get going scoring goals for us, and he would go a good number of games. He would go a good number of games without actually getting one. I mean, he only scored one when he joined us, and he was sub a lot, and that was a difficult time as well. But I mean, the goal was the Liverpool one, and then in the the following season, 2007-2008 season, when he scored all his goals at the beginning of the season, in the first half, and then Roy came and he never scored again. So. So there's lots of things there, but it's the Juventus goal, which we all remember. And my other thought about him is that what position did he play? What kind of player was he? He wasn't really a number nine. There was a few games. I always thought when he played, when you saw him named as being the main striker, that's us with five in midfield or whatever formation we have. But would that be us playing without striker? That's the way I always felt. He wasn't a winger, but he was sort of what we would probably consider in old football language, an inside forward, inside, left forward.
Yep.
Sort of just in that kind of area outside the box. And the other thing, of course, is when he joined, which made you become a fan, was he joined two Americans who were there already in Carlos Bocanegra and Brian McBride.
Absolutely,
so, you know, we had quite an American sort of link up there. And look where we are 11 years later. We still have that in many ways as well. But, it's forever the Juventus goal for me.
I'm there with you, Mike. That's obviously the big memory that stands out for me as well. But I'm glad that you talked about the position. Then I'm going to go to Emilio, because the one thing that stands out for me watching him, and I'm looking at his goal totals, and, you know, again, one season, obviously 2011-2012, he had 17 goals, and the year prior he had 12. But what stood out for me is that he could go hiding a decent amount in games, Mike, and then he would just show up and score a goal and be impactful, but he would take a lot of shots. That's something that always stood out for me, because when I was watching Chirla, it actually reminded me a little bit of how Dempsey would just shoot.
True. Yeah. I saw, obviously Mike's talked a lot, said a lot about, the memories of Clint over the years, and that was key, in the years that we were, struggling, like you said, it did take a while to adjust in that first season. It took him, 8 to 10 games before he got that goal. Arguably, you could argue that goal against Liverpool when they were preparing for the Champions League final and Fulham had to win to stay up is arguably probably the most important goal for Clint Dempsey. Sentimentally, it's obviously Juventus, but financially, I'd argue it's the Liverpool goal that was probably the most crucial. And that was his first goal for the club. But the next couple of seasons, he was a steady player, an important player. He contributed. His assists is something as well. We may not say he's the most prolific striker in the world, because that wasn't his natural position. But he was always there, sniffing, assisting. He's always looking to shoot from distance. He wasn't afraid to go for goal. And, his overall contribution, I just think when you're in the Premier League, there are some seasons you're struggling, other seasons you're in mid-table stability there. And he'd always pop up with goals, assists.
Right.
His penalty, overall his penalty taking was fairly strong. Unfortunately, the one time he did miss was the chance we had to beat our neighbours down the road. But overall, I just thought his overall contribution on the pitch, I think he gave a lot of motivation on the pitch as well. So I think he was an important player on the people side of things as well, other than just the goals and assists. So that's why I think he's such an important player, especially in those crucial years when we sort of was struggling, fighting relegation, pushing up the league as well. He was playing a different role and played a different important part in the success of the club in the Premier League. That's why I hold him in high regard. And, I do see him as being one of my most important players ever for the club.
Okay, excellent. Mike, I want your thoughts on what Emilio just shared, and also this point that I think is, when you talk about him, it's something that stands out to me. How much he improved as a player in his time at Fulham, because we're talking about early on, it took him a while to get in. He was coming off the bench a great deal. But when you look at Clint Dempsey when he began at Fulham and when he ended, he was at the top of his game. He was in his prime. He improved so much as a player during his time. I'm assuming you would agree with me.
Well, yeah. I mean, he did take a while to get going. And, I think my memory serves me right. And he was very much a player that split the fans in many ways. Yes, he would shoot from ridiculous distances. He also had a habit of slipping over and being accused of being
a
bit, being accused a little bit of lightweight. He also had a nastiness to him. I know he got his fair share of black eyes, but he dished them out as well. So, he could look after himself. But yeah, I mean, certainly his eye for goal improved as the years went on, and certainly under Joel, he had his best year, which obviously led to his move. But he did keep improving, and he became a key member of the team. But I mean, you also look back under Roy, and he played a lot under Roy, but he was also, sub quite a bit, and it goes back to sort of, what is his position, and so I always felt under Roy, we were never quite sure where he fitted into what he wanted him to do, but yeah, under Mark Hughes, even he did really well. But his eye for goal, yeah, absolutely improved. And yes. But yeah, early on it was let's fire it from every angle and hope one gets in. And the angle I was standing at for the Juventus game, It looked a little bit similar, but it just looped in, didn't it? So all that testing he did early on in his career at Fulham, paid dividends that evening.
That's a great point, Mike. But what's interesting, because we're talking about his improvement, obviously, with his shooting and scoring goals. The one thing that later on in his career was taking free kicks. And I can remember watching him taking free kicks. It's like, why is he doing the Ronaldo thing? But he would do the Ronaldo thing where he would just stand there like Ronaldo. And then he would score. And that was his last season with Fulham when he really improved. But that is something that stood out for me, is some of those free kicks later on in his career with Fulham.
He became a real specialist in that. And he was one of those players, once he had his eye in and you saw him over it, you're thinking, he's going to do well here. But, some other players you see lining up, you think, he's going to keep on going. But, Clint could do it well. And we saw him do it, at the other teams he went to as well. And and for the US team.
Absolutely. Emilio, I want to go back to you because we're talking about just Clint's time at Fulham, and I'm focusing a little bit more on his improvement, and that goes to really the end of his time with Fulham. But just talk about your thoughts. You were there watching him. Do you see what Mike and I are talking about with his improvement in the shooting? Obviously, the goals came, but I had to mention some of these free kicks because he started to become a little bit of a specialist at it in the end.
Yeah, and I think Mike raised a very good point at the beginning of the show that, he was able to do the spectacular sometimes. Sometimes he'd do the not so spectacular, but then he would do something a little bit special. Obviously, aside from the Juventus goal, there are other moments where he would do these deft free kicks. He would just do something a little bit different. At times when we needed players to rise, above the struggling team, he was there sort of, urging the team forward. I saw him being quite motivational amongst the team. You can see that aggression Mike was saying, he can be quite have that physical nature to him. You can see that feeling of anger on the pitch. And when things weren't quite running according to plan, that he was getting frustrated, he would G up the team. There'd be moments when he scored crucial goals, you can see the way he reacted, kissing his badge, double fisting in front of the fan. That's how much, those moments I won't forget. That shows how passionate he was for the club and how much he wanted to play for the club. And I love players who want to be at the club, not there for the money, not there for any other reason than they want to play for Fulham Football. A bit like Mitrovic.
Right.
Mitrovic come to Fulham because he loves the club, he loves the setup, he loves the environment, loves the manager and so forth. Dempsey was the same. He loved Fulham. And I'm not too sure, the move to Tottenham, we may talk about that shortly, but that was unfortunately not the right move for him per se, but maybe that's when agents start to play a part. We got stung that transfer window when we lost arguably our two best players.
That's right.
But he did the spectacular. He did what was important for the club. And I'll reiterate, when the club was struggling, there was only one person who you could rely on it in times of need. It was him. Without his goals at times, we might have been in a more perilous situation. And, that, like I say, time and time again, his first goal at the club kept us in the Premier League. Without that, there would have been no Juventus, no other spectacular moments in that career. We might not have seen it, so that's, it wasn't the most prolific, best goal in the world. It was a bit scuffed, but it went in the back of the net and we beat Liverpool. That kept us in the Premier League. Let's not forget that.
That's a good point to bring that up. And thank you for doing that. Now, I want to talk to both of you about the impact of Dempsey. I think this is a difficult way to do it, but I think sometimes the best way to look at it is when a player leaves. So let's talk a little bit about this, Mike, because that season, that last season with Fulham, he scored all those goals. He scored 17, and I was worried that he might want to leave. And then, of course, we have this situation with Tottenham, and he does leave. But I've always talked about the impact of Dembele leaving. And I don't think I've talked enough about the impact of Dempsey leaving. So when a player at the height of his game, at that point where he's scoring all these goals, it definitely had an impact the next season, Mike. I want to get your thoughts about him leaving. Listen, I know he left very badly. If you want to touch on that, feel free to. Absolutely feel free to. But I want to talk about the impact of losing him to Tottenham.
Yeah, well, it was, I mean, that's, you know, that's, I've already seen some comments about, it does tinge a sort of the memory of him really in some ways. And yeah, I mean, it was all linked to Liverpool in that summer of 2012. And, you know, we weren't going to let him go. And then there's talk of him turning up and not training, not going on the tour and, you know, use the word strike if you like or whatever, but he certainly wasn't there. He might have been there in body, but he certainly wasn't there in mind. And you know, and the transfers of Dembele and Dempsey within the last 2 days of the window pretty much killed our season. We replaced them on the last day, yes, with Berbatov and Richardson and De Jager, I think, if I remember rightly. But you know, we'd also signed Hugo in the summer as well and Petrick. But I mean, yeah, we got 21 million or 20 million, whatever it was for those two guys. But it really, everyone's heart just sank, you know, losing the, you know, we saw Dembele, we saw what he can do and how Yol had converted him into that midfielder we see now and also got the best out of Dempsey. So, and I, if I remember rightly, you know, that summer we were on, you know, we felt good about things. We did. We were looking forward to the season, and unfortunately,
I remember that opener that season, Mike.
Yeah, and we just got a kick in the teeth, didn't we? You know, because you know, we beat Norwich, we lost just, was it United? We just lost to, and you know, and then within days, that team is, in some ways, it's, you know, gutted it because they were the heart and soul of it. And it took us did we ever recover? I'm not sure we did, actually, to be honest.
No. I agree.
Go ahead, Emilio. Go ahead.
So I was going to say, yeah, I totally agree there, Mike, because, you know, Daniel Levy, I got frustrated with the fact that I remember I was in Italy at the time, and, you know, when that all went through, and you know, the fact that they got him for £6 million bargain, you know, and I've had this debate time and time again with many fans. I think we've had it on the show, Ross, is who was our biggest loss, Dembele or Dempsey? And I you know, people can disagree with me. You've either got the quality of Moussa Dembele, you know, beautiful to watch, or you've got the goals that count. And I still find pound for pound, value for money, Dempsey was more of a loss than Dembele. Dembele's, for all his beautiful skill, his contribution on the pitch was not as significant. Not enough goals for me and not enough assists for me. And that's, you know, pound for pound, you know, you look at what, you know, what keeps you in the Premier League. It's not fancy football, it's goals. Goals win you matches. Unfortunately, where it counted, Dembele wasn't prolific enough for us. And that's what let him down at the club. But I'm still adamant to this day, if I had a choice of selling either or, I would have sold Dembele, not Dempsey, and kept Dempsey for 2 years. And I've said that all along. And you know, Dembele's contribution to where it counts, not enough. It's lovely to watch. I admired watching him play time week in, week out. But he didn't do enough for me, you know, where it counted. And that's in the goal front and the assists. But when
interesting.
So when Mike was saying as well, when they both left, we got stuck. Yep. I mean, we go to Upton Park and we got stuffed 3-0, I think it was, wasn't it, Mike?
It was terrible.
That was terrible, that performance. There was 2-3-0 defeats. That was Yol's final game when we got stuffed at Upton Park, and also the beginning of that season. We were dire at Upton Park. And that was a warning sign early on. I think, you know, we started off very brightly. At one moment, weren't we top of the league briefly at one point that season, and suddenly got hammered at West Ham and we never quite recovered. So, but you know, that seems so many years ago now. It's really, what, 6 years ago?
Yeah. Let me ask you guys.
We did start well that season, but the quality just wasn't there.
Well, Mike, let me ask you, because Emilio's talking about obviously the impact of Clint Dempsey, comparing it to Dembele. I've always said Dembele. I've always gone there. But Emilio brings up a good point talking about all the goals that Clint Dempsey scored. And so do you understand where he's going? You might, I don't know if you agree or disagree with his take on this, but what are your thoughts about his impact? Because I think I have been underselling his impact.
I think in retrospect, Emilio's right, but we've seen what Dembele has been able to do. I tend to agree in some ways that, you know, for all the praise that Dembele gets, the actual end product, I mean, I always used to joke he could never cross the white line of the 18-yard box. You know, he just had to stop, you know, because he just couldn't get in there. And he still has an element of that. But we saw last week what he can do when he comes on. And, you know, but goals are, you know, for a team like us, even back then, you know, goals are the lifeblood of a team. And, you know, we took out 20 of them, basically, in that one transfer. And as good as Berbatov was in that first season, it was... you know, we saw what happened with him further on. So, you know, Emilio might be right, but that's a good discussion point.
It is.
But I do think it's in retrospect. We all just look back and see how good Dembele was and right. how in many ways Dempsey's career pretty much stalled, you know.
It did.
A half decent season at Tottenham and then surprised a lot of people by basically going home to the MLS, where
I was very surprised by that, because I thought he still had a good amount left to give, and I was surprised that he decided to come back to MLS. Something against MLS, but I thought at that point he could still offer something in the Premier League. I did. I thought that he could, but that's interesting because, Mike, let's talk about Dempsey going to Tottenham, and then obviously he was okay, if that's the best way to put it. Like you said, maybe just average at best. He was decent for that second half of the season. And then he goes to the Sounders. So let's now talk about he's at the Sounders. And then one season, he comes back on loan to Fulham, which was a surprise. He comes back on loan. I started hearing talk about this, but I was surprised that this ended up happening. I didn't believe the talk, but he ends up coming back. I was excited that he came back, Mike. I want to get your thoughts about his return. First of all, just his return, and we could talk about his time. Let's first talk about him coming back to the club, because this is just my opinion. I think he might have thought that, not that it was a mistake to go to Tottenham, but he might have been regretting it a little bit. What are your thoughts about him returning back to Fulham?
If I remember rightly, I think I did some shows with you as well, Russ. I wasn't very happy at the time with him coming back. Because we all saw it for what it was. You know, it was a fitness thing.
Yeah.
He's coming back in January. We're in a relegation, you know, dogfight, basically. And we all saw it for what it was, which was he's coming here and he's going to use us to get fit. And then, unfortunately, when he did play for us, he played 4 or 5 games.
That's it.
It was pretty woeful, you know.
Yeah.
And it was, you don't want to say decline. It's almost like it was a player coming back and, you know, and he was in his late 30s and not just turned 30 or whatever. But, it was Emilio might remember when Paul Parker came back to us under Adams. And it was sort of, you know, mate, you shouldn't have come back. Let me remember you the way you were. Those 4 or 5 games, it's just, you know, he was here, but did it do anything to help us? I mean, I've just had a look at the results and we lost all 5 games that he played in. So, you know.
Did he not play in that Sheffield United Cup defeat, that dire replay, 1-0 at home in extra time? Didn't he play?
I remember that.
That was probably the worst Fulham performance I can remember in many a moon. That we were dire that night. It was a wet pitch.
That was horrible.
1-0 defeat. It was on television as well, I remember.
Yeah, and I remember watching it.
He played in that game. It was one of his, you know.
I'm just looking. Yeah, he did. Yeah. He played the whole game.
Oh, boy.
it's best forgotten. It's probably the best.
Okay.
To look back on his loan spell at
sure. Okay. Okay, let's move on from that. Let's just end with us just talking about most memorable moment. I just have to say, we're probably all going to say the same. I will say Juventus. So that just stands out for me because it's something I will never forget. I've watched that, Mike, I'm not kidding. Probably lowballing this 1,000 times, probably more than that, that chip. But that's the moment that will always stand out for me. And over to you. I think you've already said that. It has to be Juventus.
Yeah, I mean, I can't. You look back and you think of players and what your memory is. And anyone says Dempsey, it's that March evening and that goal. And people forget in the Europa Cup run, if you actually look, he was subbed quite a bit, and he was subbed, in the final as well.
I remember.
He wasn't a first team choice player. He had a lot of injuries that season. But that goal is just so special and will be, along with the goal in the final in the playoff, is forever going to be etched on Fulham fans' memories.
Absolutely. Over to you, Emilio. It has to be Juventus, correct?
Yeah, I think it's difficult to disagree. But, if you look at it from a different, as I said, the financial element, I think I mentioned it earlier, the Liverpool goal, that financially was the most important goal for Fulham.
Okay.
Because without that goal or without that victory, we would have likely been relegated, and there would have been no Europa Cup glory, story. A few seasons afterwards, but let's think about all the other memories as well. I'm just reflecting back, and we talked about free kicks being in the right place, the right time.
Yep.
Knack of scoring headers as well. We're not a big guy. I remember, was it around Christmas time, Mike, New Year's time, when he scored two goals against Chelsea. Both, I mean, one late equalised with his head or something like that. It was a 2-2 draw at home. It was just
I remember that match.
That was a headed goal. And then I think there was another equaliser he scored, in the Yol era. Late, I think it was around Easter time. It was Monday evening game. So there's so many other memories, the Newcastle hat-trick when Alan Pardew was a Newcastle manager, I recall. So we stuffed them.
I remember that. Day.
There's other, not in the mould of the Juventus game, but... And there's other memories that's just stick clearly in my mind, and these were precious moments that hopefully we're going to see them again this season. But what we had then was a club that we'd invested in players without necessarily the money that we're spending now, and now we can go to another level, up a couple of notches. But with what we paid for him and what we got out of him, we can't argue value for money. Very, very significant player in terms of pound for pound what we paid and what he delivered on the pitch.
Okay, very good, guys. Real quick, Mike, to you. How do you think Clint Dempsey will be remembered? Let's not say right now. Let's say in about 10, 15 years from now. What will be fans' thoughts of Clint Dempsey, you feel?
They will look back and remember the Europa Cup goal. That will be the main thing. And being part of the American link that Fulham has. And that's what we're all going to remember him. And Emilio might be right as well. In an era of fans, a certain era of fans, he will be in their starting 11 because of what he did over those, six or seven years he was there. So that's going to be the. I do have one more memory, if I can just mention it. The Newcastle game where he scored a hat trick.
Yep.
And. I remember that one back in early January. That's going to be it, really, is that goal. It certainly won't be his rapping anyway.
Definitely not be that, Mike.
what about you, Russ? What's your memories of him? Doesn't have to be Fulham, could be US and... or even, MLS games or something.
Sure. No, for me, it's Fulham. It starts with Fulham. Obviously, he scored a tremendous amount of goals for the U.S. men's national team. And I remember watching him in the World Cup score goals, and he was very good. But the way I look at it, it's funny because people ask me this all the time. Like, when I look at Clint Dempsey, how do I see him? Do I see him as a... U.S. men's national team player, Revolution player, a Sounders player, or a Fulham player? I only see him one way. He's a Fulham player. And I think this is my opinion, the way I look at him. The best of Clint Dempsey's career was spent at Fulham. Again, I will go out and say I dare anyone to fight me on that. I don't see another part of his career that even comes close to his time. We got the best out of Clint Dempsey at Fulham. And that's the way I look at it. That's the best of his career was at Fulham. That's the way I look at it, guys. Emilio, over to you.
Yeah, I just, you know, he'll always play, have a very special, you know, memories, and have very fond memories of him throughout his time at the club. I had the privilege of meeting him a couple of times as well in his early part of his career, and he was a nice guy. You know, he had very non-sporting type of hobbies as well. So he's actually just a genuinely normal guy who, you know, loved his time at the club. You know, I think Mike made a good point. He did divide opinion at times. And that was because maybe he wasn't scoring, you know, as many goals as people would like. But you know, as he started to get more confident and started getting technically a lot better, his contribution on the pitch, like from, you know, defensively, he used to do a lot of covering. He was able to score penalties, free kicks from his head, from close distance, from long range. He offered a little bit of everything in a period of time where the club was going through some turbulent times. So fond memories, love him to bits. You know, I hope he has a pleasant retirement, and you know, I'll never forget him.
Neither will I, for obvious reasons. Guys, thank you so much for spending some time to talk about Clint Dempsey. And this is a great show. It was great to look back at his career. And we have to talk about the good. We also have to talk about the move, because I think it's fair to look at everything. But obviously, there's so much fond memories that weighs the highest here. And I think you guys did a great job of talking about it. But let's wrap up this episode. For Mike Gregg and Emilio Donnell, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.